Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church Belfast.
What I want to say to you today, I'm only going to take about 15 minutes, so I'll say is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and it's absolutely applicable to this Christmas time, is in John 1:17. It says that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came. Grace and truth came. Christmas is all about God coming to you, all right? And that's what we remember. That's what nativity means. Nativity, the actual word, means to be born. And it's like before Jesus ever came into your world or came into this world, what happened was the law was given. The law was absolute. The law was you do like some kind of cosmic Santa and God will do for you. You behave a certain way, God will love you. You behave a certain way, God will bless you. And that law was given. It was like there was a distance, all right? Because in that sort of, that's not about relationship, that's about transaction. If you do for me, I do for you. But what is amazing about Christmas is about, well, the law was given on one side, but grace and truth, that's Jesus, okay? Both of these words are used to describe Jesus, but they came in Jesus for you. So Christmas is not a time where God is far away and distant. It's the biggest reminder that actually that Jesus steps right into your world. He comes right to you. And he comes to do a number of different things. I'm just going to say a couple of things this morning because I want you to know that wherever you are today and whatever is going on, that Jesus is not far off. He's not a distant God who's upset with you. He's not a distant God who is angry with you. He's a God who said, I love you so much that I'm going to step right into the middle of your world and right into the middle of your mess, right into the middle of your complication and right into the middle of your circumstance, and I will save you. Because even the name Jesus, in Luke 2:10-11, it says that Jesus' job is to save. His actual name, the name Jesus, on every card and, you know, Christmas and all that sort of stuff, the actual name means God saves, Jesus saves, Yahweh saves. So let me just tell you a few wee things about this story, which I absolutely love. It says in Luke 2, I'm going to just jump in and out of different bits of the story. Remember when the kids were doing this, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Here we have a wee girl who finds herself, I absolutely love the story of whenever the angel appears to Mary, and she's just a kid at this stage. And she says, whatever you say, let it be unto me according to what you want, Lord, right? And I'm sure she had loads of stuff going through her head, but what happens here is the angel says, you know, don't worry about what's going to happen, because there's going to be a great joy which will be to all people. For born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior who is Christ the Lord, all right? So when in the first bit when the angels appear to Mary and then they appear to the shepherds, all right? They talk about God stepping into your world, but don't be afraid about it because he's going to bring out great joy for you. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, why would a baby be great joy for all people? Like, how does that? I know when babies are born, there's a whole lot of people are really happy, isn't that right? There's a whole lot of people around the family. We go, woo-hoo. But there's babies born every day, and you and I don't, you know, we don't know about it, and we don't really care. But here's heaven announcing, going, this baby's going to be born, and it's going to be good news for everyone. All right? Because here's what's really interesting about the Christmas story. This is why it's good news, because everything in that story is a sign for you that God is stepping into your world and he's not finished. He's not done. Because what it says here in Luke chapter 2 is that the Bible says that when the time had come, Mary, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Have you ever wondered why the angels told the shepherds that this baby for all people would be a sign for everyone? Because I don't know if, you know, we have a sanitized version of Christmas here. But what I love about this, and let me make this point to you this morning, is Christmas tells you, right, that Jesus, God sees from beginning to the end. The end of your story is not written and it's not done yet. But God has been to the very end, because this sign that this baby would come and we'd be laid in a manger, let me tell you what it's like. It's not a wooden thing. A manger was actually made out of a big block of stone. It was one big piece of stone, and they would have hewn the rock. Is that the right word? I read it, and I don't know what it means, so I'm just guessing. But I think it means they cut it, right? Yeah. Give it all that. And they hewn this rock, and they would cut it out. So it was almost like a big stone bath. All right? And what we see is it's a prophetic picture of what the Lord was going to do. Because at the point where Jesus steps into your world, he says, I'm going right to the end. And it's good news for you. Because actually the birth of Jesus, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but when Jesus said, when God said, this is going to be a sign for you, what he was saying was, have a look at what is happening at the very beginning, because it is good news for you that Jesus is going to save you. Because when they took this baby and they wrapped the baby in swaddling cloths and placed it in a trough, it was an absolute prophetic picture of what Jesus would do in the Garden of Gethsemane and when he would be crucified and when he would be buried. I've actually been in the garden tomb where Jesus was laid after the crucifixion. And where they laid him was a big piece of rock hewn out like a big manger. Isn't that amazing? And what happens is Joseph of Arimathea takes Jesus' body and he wrapped it in linen, you can read, and then he laid it in a tomb made out of rock. Do you see the similarities? A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, but Jesus one day would be wrapped in linen and laid in a tomb. And what the angel was pointing to, he was saying, see right now, whenever God steps into your world, I'm not leaving you right here. I'm pointing to the very end for you. Because when this baby, do you want to know why this baby is good news for you? Because he will come and he will bear on himself all of our mess, all of our sin, all of our upset, all of our mistakes, all of the separation between us and God and us and other people. And the baby is a picture of actually what he would do as an adult so that we would be saved. Isn't that incredible? And right at the very beginning, you see the death of Jesus. And we celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's a nativity. This is what it's about. But there's a powerful truth right at the beginning. It's a prophetic truth. It's how Scripture lines up for you. To go right now when God steps into my world, there will be a point in my life where it will be fully finished. It will be fully done. And I can see in Jesus in this manger that his work was not to come and just to be a vestige Christmas cards, but actually it was a huge truth that my life can be different forever. I absolutely love that. It's this thing of Jesus didn't come into the world to judge you, okay? To judge you. He came into the world to save you. He came into your world to be born like that and to die like that so that he could save you from all of your mess. I absolutely love that truth. That is the truth of what we celebrate today. That's what it says in Matthew 1:20. It says, Jesus didn't come to judge us. Let me just read it. It says, while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. This is Joseph saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she'll bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he will what? He will save his people from their sin. Now, I know in Northern Ireland, in our context, save from sin, on a big placard, right? On a big board. No, for flip's sake, the Bible bashers are going to beat us senseless with this. But actually, what this means here, actually, the word to save is so much more than something just ethereal and up there, okay? Every time there's separation between us and God because of the choices that we make or the things that we do, there's a consequence. And those consequences are absolutely huge at times. Some of them, it's ultimately separation from God, the one who made us, the one who gives us hope and a purpose. But we see all sorts of difficulties in our own lives, from sickness and pain and suffering and all this stuff caused by sometimes really poor choices that we make. And you know what, this at this time of year, above all others, it says, you know what, when Jesus steps into your world, because he will be born and because he will die for you, he'll save you from that. Not just keep you in it, but he'll actually lift you out of it. He'll take you away from it. And I think that that is one of the most incredible truths that we need to hear this Christmas time. That this is a time that whatever's going on in your world, Jesus himself steps in and goes, I will die for, prophetically, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to be raised again for you. And so that you don't need to be afraid or to be worried, because I am the God above it all. I absolutely, just two things I want to finish with. It says here that when the angels heard this, all those wee angels up here, all right, and they sang, glory to God in the highest. Because why did they say that? Why did they say glory to God? You know, absolutely, God loves to deliver you. He absolutely loves to deliver you. And one of the things that why this was goodwill for, or good news for all men, was because, you know, the whole bit of history, if you like, coming up to this point, certainly in Jewish history, they had this whole thing of the Messiah who would come, who would lift them out of the pain, the suffering, the illness, the sickness, the defeat, the condemnation, that feeling of never being good enough, the tiredness and the weariness and that sense of I'm not good enough, I will never be good enough, it's all on my shoulder. They had lived with that for hundreds and into thousands of years. And so they were longing for that to be lifted from their shoulders. And so whenever Jesus stepped in, that's why the angels shouted glory to God in the highest. Because it was this thing of mankind going, oh, at last, I'm free. Or at last I can be free. And so what did the angels sing, right? And the angels sang peace and goodwill. Peace and goodwill. Now, we see this in Isaiah 9 verse 6, all right? Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill towards men, it says in Luke chapter 2 verse 14. Now, peace today seems to be in short supply, doesn't it? We often think that peace is an absence of conflict. You know, people can get on together. Look at our own country, for goodness sake. We have peace, all right? But would anyone dare suggest that actually hearts have changed? Oh, no way. It's Christmas. Move on, all right? Okay, but isn't it the truth? You know, we've had peace for years, but actually hearts have never really changed. But that's not the kind of peace that the angels were singing about. They were not saying that the Messiah would come and bring peace on earth between men. Now, when Jesus is amongst men, there is peace as a result, but that's not why he came. The word that he was singing was something different, or the angels were singing. He didn't say that, if people go, well, if Jesus came to bring peace, why do we still have war and division? Well, that's not what it was about either. Actually, it's in Matthew 10:34, Jesus himself said, I've come not to send that peace. So what on earth, what was this? Whenever Jesus was born, prophetically speaking of how he would die, right? Why would the angels announce to the whole of the world and the whole of eternity and the whole of heaven peace, right? Because what they were actually announcing was the word shalom, all right? And that's just not a Jewish word. It was a word that was announced a whole new era for mankind. What they were saying this is the anger of God, listen to me, the judgment of God, the wrath of God will be absolutely satisfied in this prophetic picture of a baby in a manger. The angels were actually declaring from the tops of their lungs over the whole world, God is not angry with you anymore. God is not out to get you anymore. The animosity between God and mankind is done. It is finished, because this prophetic picture of a baby is what you will see Jesus in the tomb after being crucified, and then he will be resurrected. So this is what the angels were singing. They were singing Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Now, I love this. The word Shalom, do you want to know what it means? We go peace. What does that mean? Is that kind of ethereal? Well, one of the names of Jesus is Sar Shalom. You read it in Isaiah 9 verse 6. But it's one of the descriptive names that the Bible used to indicate the ministry and the personality of Jesus. Let's read it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. Can I just stop at that word? How many times have you read that over your long history, some of you? Some way longer than others, I can see. How many times have you read that in Christmas cards and postcards and not actually understood what it meant? I actually stopped this week to go, I wonder what some of these words mean, but I just want to pick out the peace one, goodwill, and this one, wonderful. Because it just doesn't mean wonderful, like that. Jesus is just really wonderful. The Hebrew word there for wonderful is miracle worker. Isn't that incredible? So his name will be called. Now listen, that's God's word for you today. God to you stepping into your world is a miracle worker. And that's why they announced with such absolute joy, all right? Unto us a child is born, a son is given, this is Jesus. The government, that means authority, will be on him. His name will be called the miracle worker. I don't know about you, if you need a miracle. I don't know about you if you feel like there's something in 2019 that's got to change. I would say get your heart into this mode today to go, our God today, the one that we celebrate, is not the God of the tea towels on the head necessarily and all that stuff, although that was fantastic, all right? Brings a tear to my eye. There's no doubt about it. But he actually, in the real life of whenever you walk out of here today, he is the God of miracles. He is the God of taking that which seems completely lost and utterly turning it around. He's the God of taking situations that seem lost to you and and going, I can redeem, I can give you hope, and I can give you a future. He's the God who says, if you're sick, I will make you well. If you have sickness in your body, I will be your healer. If you've got sickness in your mind, I will give you peace in your mind. If you have difficulty all around you, I will be the calm in your storm. And where everyone else has said you cannot do it, the Lord says, this time of year, let me remind you that I work miracles. Amen. Amen. That's the goodness of God today. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we celebrate at Christmas. And let me just tell you what the word shalom, Prince of Peace, Sar El Shalom in Hebrew. It's when you just study this word out, I don't know if this is for you this morning, but completeness. This is what this word, the Prince of what? He's the Prince of completeness. He is the Prince of wholeness. He is the Prince of health. He is the Prince of welfare. He is the Prince of safety, the Prince of soundness, the Prince of tranquility. He is the Prince of prosperity, of perfectness. He is the Prince of fullness and rest and harmony. And he is the Prince when wherever he is there, there is no agitation or discord. That's what the angels sang. Is that not good news? I don't know about you, if you need some wholeness and completeness. What about some peace and welfare and safety in your heart? Some security today? What about knowing that there is fullness and rest for you? What about that agitation and discord and upset? Because Jesus today coming into your world says, I am the Prince. The word Prince as well, Sarel, in Hebrew means the one at the place of authority. Right? So what he says is this, I am a miracle worker and I am in the place of authority. You might be lots of things that you seem to think have authority in your world today. Going into 2019, what's it going to be like? But Jesus reminds you, if the whole of heaven can hear and it can be announced to all of them that this is glory to God because he has come, what he says to you today is, I am in the place of authority in your life. And when I'm in the place of authority in your life, I'll work a miracle. Isn't that awesome? I don't know about you. This is the stuff I love about Christmas. This is the stuff. God saying, I'm not angry anymore. God stepping into your world at the very point of this little baby. Every time you see that little baby this Christmas, it is a prophetic picture of Jesus going to die for you. It's exactly what you will see at the end of his life. And because of that, the angels announce he's a miracle worker and he will bring you peace. Amen. The last thing is this, the angels sang goodwill. The angels sang goodwill. Or on my notes this morning, the angels sang goodwill. They're like angels, but just it's the angels. I obviously haven't typed that one very well. So the angels, right, they're singing goodwill. All right, see what I did there? It's this word ratzon. And so they sing peace. They sing, and they sing about goodwill. In Jewish literature, can I just say this, ratzon had deep meaning. Do you know there's layers of meaning in every bit of this Christmas story? All right? There's one thing to think that God will step into your world and do something for you, all right, because you need it. That's one thing. Do you get that? I need this. God, you step into my world and you do it. That's the way the law worked. That's the way the law was given. All right? You do, I do. What does that miss, though? That misses the very heart of a God who absolutely adores you. Yeah. And that's what goodwill is. It's not just bon homie, I hope you go well, good luck and all that. Ha ha ha. Whatever that is. All right. You know, maybe backslap with people and go, what about you? Dead on. Great. Good luck. The number of people who have said good luck to me, it's a culture thing as well. They're very good with their good looks. Right? Good luck. You think, aren't they? Us Belfast people don't say that as much. Cultures do. Good luck. And the slap you on the back as my builder did yesterday. And he's proper culture. He's from way past Yorkgate. And you know what I mean? You can just tell by the look of him. And what's really interesting for me is that there's one thing to go, okay, God, if I'm in trouble, you're going to transact. Or you're going to step into my world and you're going to heal. But there's the thing about goodwill is it's not of that. Ratzon had this really, really deep meaning, and I want to say this morning, all right? It was not about God doing it because a deal was struck. It was about God healing, delivering, giving you completeness and wholeness. Why? Because it expressed his deep desire to do it. It wasn't just that he had to, he wanted to. and he wants to. There is a deep expression of the desire of the Father heart of God for you in this word ratzon, goodwill. I need you to know that, because at times we doubt that. At times at Christmas we do doubt it. I'm getting into 2019, what's it going to be like? You know, this is a massive shift for these people in how they saw God. It wasn't just that he was dealing with them now differently because of this baby, but actually it was a shift in God's heart to them, away from the law which was given to grace and truth which came in the form of a baby. All right? And what's really interesting about it, I'm just going to finish for me, all right? It says that word ratzon the whole way through the Bible, if you're interested, in Deuteronomy 33. It says, God will satisfy you with goodwill. Goodwill is a blessing of the Lord. It says, to under us and our children, O Lord, our Savior, it says in Psalms, may your goodwill be forever. Jesus prays, your will be done. It's like, would your heart and your mercy and your desire for us, all right, could we really start to experience that? It's one thing to know that God transacts. It's another thing to know that he wants to transform you, change you, and love you. And so if I could just leave you with this, that the law was given, but grace and truth came. Grace and truth came. If you want to know what truth is this Christmas, okay? Sometimes we want to know what is true, what's right, what can I really believe, what can I build my life on, what can I have faith for? What is it for me that really will count? And the truth of it is this. It'll never be found in a set of laws and regulations, because that's on one side, but grace and truth always come together. Two words to describe Jesus. And what is true is what grace says. Do you get that? What is true is what grace says, because grace and truth come together. That's why in John 1:17, that was written about the Lord. John chapter 1 is all about the word becoming flesh, Jesus coming down. And it says that if you want to know what's true this Christmas, you want to start to think about your 2019, what does grace say about you? What does Jesus say about you? Because that which is grace is true, and that which is true is grace. And so I hope you're encouraged this Christmas. I hope you see that this is what it's all about. I hope you see that actually, as I am stuck on everything, I hope you see that in Christmas this year, that this little baby who comes to step into your world comes to completely revolutionize and change. That's a beautiful picture of the Lord coming down, but a prophetic picture of him dying for you so that you could be saved. And my heart and my prayer for you at Christmas is that you and yours would know that truth. As you sit, as you rise, as you sleep, as you come in and as you go out, that this Christmas would be a different Christmas, full of God's love and peace over you. Amen? Amen.